Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Hello, if you've just joined us, you are listening to The Morning Show with Wendy Grace. You know, in the UK, a bill to clarify the extent to which a medical practitioner with a conscientious objection may refrain from participating in certain medical activities, an example being abortion, is currently underway. Now, the most recent reading took place in the House of Lords at the end of January. And on the line to tell us a little bit more, we have Mary Teresa Dugan, who's a spokesperson for the Free Conscience Campaign. Good morning, Mary, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, and it's a pleasure to be here.
So, Mary, tell us a little bit about what the Conscientious Objection Medical Activities Bill is all about.
Well, a few years ago, myself and a colleague, Connie Wood, had a long battle against the Health Board in Glasgow over our rights to conscience, which I'll go into in just a wee moment. But basically, we ended up in the Supreme Court in London, lost that case, which meant we, as sisters working on a labour ward, had to oversee abortions and be responsible for them being carried out. And we lost the case, and basically that's what they said we had to do, which was a huge shock to ourselves and many, many others. So as a result of that, people like Baroness O'Lone, Nuala O'Lone, I think she's pretty well known in this side of the water, she instigated, along with this other group, Free Conscience, Lord Alton and others, a bill to try and rectify the damage that was done. And basically, I would say, to take it back to the spirit of what the law had intended, the British law in 1967, which was to allow anyone with a conscientious objection to an abortion process to opt out.
So what changed?
Well, politics in the way, gradually people's own opinions came into it. And eventually in the Court of Sessions, what I have learned in this whole procedure is how political much of the legal and the judiciary, and I think that happens in Ireland and in other parts of the world too, but that they're not really adhering to what the spirit of the law was all about at all. And basically they've reinterpreted it in the most narrow manner of what the exemption in the Abortion Act actually meant. So it just, you know, they came up with the idea that it was just, or the interpretation, that it was literally just people who had hands-on with the actual practice of it could adhere to the conscience clause. And the rest of us just had to go on with it. And it was a huge, huge blow, but also a devastating reality for many people who don't realise now how implicated GPs, pharmacists and others will be now in future. I mean, David Steele said anyone with a conscience working in a hospital that had any involvement with it, now that wasn't written in the law, but that's what he said in 1967, but it's certainly not the state just now. And actually 50 years has passed. And you've got people who've got their own ideology and their own views about things. And that's all come into play here.
On the one hand, you have that idea, of course, yes, there's people with a particular ideology, Mary. But on the other hand, we've learned a lot in those 50 years. And certainly medical professionals like yourself, there's been so much advancements in things like ultrasound technology, what we know about fetal development. So there's perhaps people now that maybe 50 years ago didn't think about this issue now might have an objection that they didn't have before, as an example. And is it a situation then, as you were put in, that, you know, if you say that I have an objection to this, that it's basically, well, you're going to lose your job?
Well, that's what it's come to now. And Connie Wood and myself have both been forced out. Connie, I just should say, she's a wonderful colleague, a great midwife, and she's a girl from County Clare. So, and my parents are both from Donegal, so we have a very strong Irish connection, you can see from that statement. But, yeah, we were forced out. Connie was a wee bit younger than me. I spent 7 years fighting this case before, you know, we were just forced out. They didn't sack us. But we couldn't go back to working in that environment, which was ours. And what you say about there's a lot of progress being made. There's progress being made technologically and what have you. But I think we've regressed as far as humanity is concerned, because way back in 67, one of the reasons they put the clause in was because it was acknowledged that there were a very high number of Irish personnel working in the British NHS. And they were very concerned that they would have a mass exodus of staff. And so there was pressure and a realisation that that could jeopardise care, because obviously it wasn't just working. It was probably less so maternity units then, more gynaecology and theatre areas. But so that was one of the strongest reasons for putting that clause in, was a practical reality that they could lose a lot of staff. But nowadays, people are sleepwalking and have no idea, and it's somebody else's problem. They think they're far away from it, but, you know, evil doesn't sleep. It creeps out, and goes into other areas and domains. And the progress you may be thinking about is now in time, implicating or potentially implicating many other people.
And Mary, surely there is other midwives and medical professions that feel the same as you, especially when I think of having my own baby and the amazing work that the midwives did. And I imagine one of the reasons you became a midwife is it's about bringing life into the world, not participating or being a bystander while life is deliberately ended. Is there many others that you've met on this 7-year battle that have felt the same as you?
We're the minority. I think you could safely say that people don't like it to participate. But what you've got here now is that, and I have to stress here, that the babies that would come to be aborted in the labour ward were, by and large, children who have some I don't like the word abnormality because it's already very dehumanising. They've got some handicap or another. So these are the children that would come to our labour ward. Obviously the mother would come to labour ward for terminations. And it's amazing the number of people, and people do this, differentiate between social terminations where a woman chooses just her choice, and for the babies with handicap. They call it fetal anomalies. And I'll just say to you, I've met a girl from Ireland who had been carrying a baby that she did take to term, and she had this little child. And she and her husband said, and this is how it's going in Ireland, this was what she told us, that they kept getting referred to, you know, the pregnancy it was a fetal anomaly. It was used that much that she said they were thinking of calling their baby fetal anomaly. And it's very dehumanising, frightens the life out of people. But these conditions these children have are not all life-threatening. They may be genetic, they may be, you know, spina bifida, something like that. But they're not all life-threatening conditions.
Has it worried you then just to see that it seems to me that abortion can really lead to discrimination against people who are disabled?
Well, you know, it's ironic you say that, because one of the reasons it became a huge problem for us in Glasgow was because our population has gone down quite dramatically, and it's only because of the migration to Scotland especially. It's levelled out and started slowly to turning again. But we closed maternity units that much because of the reduced population. And then it resulted in two of the hospitals amalgamating ourselves at the Southern General in Glasgow with another hospital called the Queen Mother's Hospital. But the irony is, I always thought, was that when they built the new maternity department, labour ward and special care unit in the Southern General area, the ground, they put in this large room. I mean, areas and room were a premium because of the costs, of course. But in the labour ward, there was a very large bathroom toilet for people with disabilities. And I used to think, why have they done this? Because they're wiping them out.
There's a sad, sad irony in that, as you say, Mary, and it kind of makes you shudder when you really think about what's actually happening. We have a situation here in Ireland where this issue is currently being debated, I should say, about abortion. What would your thoughts be as people consider a referendum regarding the Eighth Amendment, especially when we think about the medical profession here in Ireland?
Well, they have to waken up, and I can tell you, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I do understand and realise nobody willfully wants to go out there and suffer, and that's part of what a lot of the people in the profession are trying to prevent by suggesting babies with disabilities, etc., that, you know, this be more merciful. They use very emotive language, and of course that's a soft area. Because you're carrying out a merciful act, this child shouldn't be allowed to. That is such a fallacy. There's such a thing as allowing to die naturally, and we should be supporting and giving more help to parents whose baby maybe has some kind of disability, and perhaps the child won't live. So there's more care we could give to these couples. Because actually what's happened here is that if any woman chooses to carry on her pregnancy and not abort, the pressure on her is enormous. I mean, she's judged dreadfully. It really great pressure being put on them. And I know quite a few that this has happened to. I'm told this regularly, and I know it from experience, that it's the professionals themselves who want the women to do what they would do. And of course, now you've got in obstetrics a situation where anyone who's remotely against abortion won't go into the profession. I've got some friends who are, and I've got lots of friends who carry out abortion, and I'm not judging them. I'm not judging the women. It's the action. But by and large, obstetrics and gynaecology, it's mostly people who know that they're going to go into that profession and kill another human being. And they all know that that's what they're doing. And by the way, now here in the UK, because of the so-called progress, it's pessaries that are given to women in labour, it's now been deemed that the midwife can do that. So you can believe that the doctors who come through the departments, they know that the midwife's got that permission, you know, as a policy. So they will leave it to her. So in effect, it's the midwife who will become the abortionist.
Mary, if you could sum up, and you've been a midwife for a good number of years now, and you have been working in this area while abortions have been growing, sadly, in the UK, what sort of an impact have you seen it have just on culture in general and for families and pregnant women?
There's no question. I mean, I spoke down at the House of Lords because of this bill they're putting through, and I absolutely see a coarsening in life, a devaluation. I mean, I've always been so proud of my Irish background, and I was always aware that there's a greater humanity, by and large. I'm not saying it right across the board, but there is. But just gradually, and I absolutely believe if we can do what we do to the babies in the womb, as Mother Teresa has said, we can do anything to anybody else. And there's a coldness amongst, not everybody, of course not. I've got lots of good, close young friends and relatives who've gone into the profession, nursing, and they're wonderful, but there's too many that are just, they don't have the care. And of course, they've got some relatives, maybe carried out abortion, had abortions themselves, but there's definitely a colder reality to life and a lack of care.
Well, Mary, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us on the programme today, and we will hopefully join you for a further update on that bill in a number of weeks. That was Mary Teresa Dugan, spokesperson for the Free Conscience campaign, and you can get more information at www.freeconscience.org.uk.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.